Thank you all for being here this morning, Wise Men Sunday. Happy New Year. Hello? Hello? Is this working? Let's try. Happy New Year. Okay, let's start with a poll, just an informal poll. Raise your hand if you made it to midnight. Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Not me. Not a chance. The first Sunday of 2020, are you kidding me? Honestly, how many of you thought that you'd make it to 2020? And how could it be 2020? Do you remember Y2K? Oh yeah, the excitement, the sense of impending doom. We wondered if the power grid would fail and life as we knew it would somehow be thrown into total chaos, did we not? Y2K was 20 years ago. Hello? Now, I remember that night very vividly. At the stroke of midnight, I'm Y2K. I hit a golf ball off the first tee at Useless Bay Country Club. Keep in mind, I only live 250 yards off that first tee in my condo, but I wanted to be the first one to hit a ball in the new millennium on that course or maybe the entire West Coast. We had a party going on at our house that night, a New Year's Eve party with our kids and other couples over there. So I just kind of slipped out, you know, for a few minutes. And as the new millennium began, all the other couples exchanged a kiss as the clock struck midnight and the fireworks began. Meanwhile, Felicia was looking around going, anybody seen my husband? Yeah, it's not easy being married to me. 2020, a new year, a new decade. I'm excited to see what God has in store for us in 2020. Now, the calling that we have will not change. It is critical that we stay faithful to our baptismal calling to follow Jesus. Now, we all have differences away from this place. We have different opinions and party affiliations. But here in this place of grace, we simply follow Jesus together. And it's important that we stay together because we can do more together. We are better together, and we need each other. The media, social media, and the political rancor which bombards us all week long tries to weaken and divide us, but we must stand firm together, grounded in Christ Jesus. We are better together. The world is a dangerous place. We're reminded of that every week. And the human journey is fragile and painful and fleeting. And that is true for the young and the old, the rich and the poor, those who stay up to midnight and those who don't, the able and disabled, the Democrat and the Republican. We need each other. In 2020 and beyond, let us be a community dedicated to love. A community that seeks to love our neighbor at home and across God's planet Earth. Kind of a novel thought, is it not? Loving our neighbor, loving them just as they are. There's no need to judge them. They do not need to conform to our questionable standards or moral codes. They do not need to share our heritage or our citizenship. They do not need clean resumes to be welcomed here. Jesus said, just love them. And look no further than to that stable. God made a clear statement that night in Bethlehem. The guest list for that first Christmas party included poor, uneducated, unclean shepherds, a young peasant girl by the name of Mary, a blue-collared carpenter from a hick town, barnyard animals, and the strange, uncircumcised foreigners. Yes, the statement from God should have been clear. It is a new day, Christmas Day, God with us, and the us is not tribal. It includes all the people of the world. Might we say, mine is the stable where everybody's welcome. Because either everybody's welcome or we are not, the Church of Jesus. And since we are still by the manger scene today, it should be noted that the only people missing from the stable that night were the so-called religious people. Trinity Lutheran Church, 2020, no room for self-righteousness, no room for judgment or exclusion. Let us be humble and honest about who we are. Christianity has been described as one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. There's not a lot of room for bragging there, is there? It's only by the grace of God that any of us are here. So for the final time this season, we're going to approach the stable. This will be our last shot at Christmas for 11 months. So come with me to Epiphany. It's Wise Men Sunday. And in our gospel text, we encounter the three kings who trusted in something that they could not comprehend. As we enter the story, much has happened already. The wise men, Arab stargazers, have been moving for some time now. They followed a star through the darkness of winter. What an exciting and wonderful journey that must have been, right? Wrong. Not really. We've made that journey far too romantic, as we have the entire Christmas story. Think about our Christmas Sunday school pageants. Mary and Joseph are relaxed, the shepherds don't stink, and the wise men, they arrive in Bethlehem clean, rested, carrying gifts, and looking like kings, royalty. But the reality was much different. This dangerous journey across the desert lasted for weeks or months, months away from family, months removed from the comforts of home, months of uncertainty, months on the back of a camel crossing foreign landscapes. The stage is now set. So let's see what God has to teach us this morning as we look at our lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them, asking where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. A familiar story, perhaps. What is it that God is teaching us on this first Sunday of 2020? So here we go. Pastor Jim's lessons learned from the wise men. Number one, ask for directions. No one is so wise that they do not need to ask for directions in life. The wise men, gifted astrologists that they were, still needed directions to arrive in Bethlehem. From time to time, we could all benefit from the guidance of others. Now imagine in your own life story a minute. Imagine for a moment how much pain you would have been spared in life, or how many painful detours you could have avoided if only you had asked for and heeded the advice of trusted counselors. If pride cometh before the fall, then the ultimate form of pride is to think that we are so smart that we do not need the wisdom of those who have gone before us. The Ten Commandments might be a good place to start. God's law for us, God's wisdom for us, guidance that when heeded leads to healthier communities and families and more abundant life. Ask for directions. Seek the counsel of those with experience. It does not make you less wise to do so. In fact, it is the ultimate sign of wisdom to know what you know, but to see clearly what you don't know and to fill that gap by consulting others. Now, at Trinity Lutheran Church this morning and always, you're surrounded by an amazing group of people, caring people, people who have experienced much of their lives, people who have seen and experienced pretty much everything. They would be happy to coach you in your financial life, to encourage you as a parent, to hold your hand through a painful divorce, or to be a support to you as a loved one nears death. Wise men and wise women ask for directions. Number two, we learn that following Jesus requires sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is not a popular concept in the year 2020. Even as we face climate change and widespread homelessness and ever-increasing deficits, no one wants their programs cut or their taxes increased. We all believe that people should curb their appetite for consumption, but we rarely see ourselves as a part of the problem or a part of that equation. Sacrifice? Let someone else do it. Sacrifice. The wise men sacrificed their time, their money, and their comfort to follow the star to Bethlehem. We should be ready to sacrifice our time, our money, and our comfort to follow Jesus in our lives. You see, becoming a disciple of Jesus is not like joining the health club or the country club. Those institutions exist to serve our every need, and there's nothing wrong with that. But to follow Jesus is to embrace sacrifice and service on behalf of others. Trinity Lutheran Church is a place where we are served by others from time to time, but is also a place where we can find time to serve and sacrifice for others. The two cannot be separated. Number three on Pastor Jim's list of what we learned from the wise men, they worshiped. They worshiped. Not all of them, of course. You did know that there were originally five wise men, did you not? There were five, but two stayed home for Christmas. One stayed home to watch the Seahawks in the playoffs. Missed the opportunity to miss the Christmas child. Bad trade. The second one didn't go to Bethlehem. Why? The second one refused to go because he was still mad at the pastor in Bethlehem. The pastor who encouraged the minister of music to play Beatles songs in church. This not-so-wise man cut off his nose despite his face, and he missed the joy of Christmas. Now, the three wise men who did go, the ones who did make the trip, we are told they worshiped. They crossed the desert. They asked for nothing in return. They had no agenda but to praise God for the gift of the Christmas child. Now, in 2020, for us, we are encouraged to worship together, as you are this morning, to put yourself in the path of Jesus, believing that your life will then have greater meaning and purpose. Number four, lessons learned from the wise men, be generous. The wise men were generous. They brought gold, historically the most precious of metals. They brought frankincense, which was an incense fit for a king, and they brought myrrh, a spice that was used to prepare bodies for burial. Extravagant were the gifts they brought. They came with thankful and generous hearts. They expected nothing in return for their generosity. They were blessed to be a blessing, and they were a blessing to the Holy Family. Now, generosity is the ultimate sign of a healthy, thankful, and abundant life. A generous person is thankful, positive, admired, and fun to be around. So I would encourage you to be generous in 2020 and for the rest of your days. Be generous as God has been generous to you. Be generous in every area of your life, in your love, in your time, in your forgiveness. Be generous with your patience and be generous with your money. Number five, in lessons to be gleaned from the story of the wise men, is quite simple. With God, race has no place. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus came for the world. Look at that stable. There were no white people at the stable 2,000 years ago. There were no Northern Europeans. Race has no place with God. Black and yellow, red and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. The wise men, stargazing, uncircumcised, unclean Arabs, people of odd dress, peculiar culture and food, strange religious practices, and yet, where were they? They were present on Christmas. They were faithful and obedient and generous, and it was not an accident that they were there. It's not an accident that they were included in the Christmas story. No, it was a God thing. Race has no place in the kingdom of God. Bigotry, prejudice, and hate are contrary to the Jesus story. And I would encourage you to keep your distance. Keep your distance from anyone who claims the name of Jesus as they spew venom of bigotry and prejudice and hate. Race has no place in the kingdom of God. And now the moment that you've been so patiently waiting for, the end of the sermon. The final lesson to be learned from the journey of the wise men: after meeting Jesus, they returned to their own country by another road. After meeting Jesus, our lives should be different. It should be clear to us that we need to journey on another road, to walk a road less traveled, to leave behind regret, to leave shame behind, and addiction and abuse and greed. We are called to a gospel road, a journey marked by service and foot washing, and a commitment to love our neighbor. A different road than the rat race, dog-eat-dog, consumer culture that demands our allegiance. So let us journey together in 2020. Let us put ourselves in the path of the gospel. May we encourage, love, and serve each other as we call out the very best of our human natures and seek to change the world for the Prince of Peace. 2020, a new beginning. The lessons of the wise men: ask for directions, be willing to sacrifice for the common good, worship together, be generous, resist every form of racism, and let us go in a new direction together as the people of God. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. Thank you to the choir and our